Fuck you, Aprilia. If you're dumb enough to buy a new used motorcycle this weekend, you're big enough schmuck to come down to Big Mark's Bikes.
Welcome back to Motorsport 101. No, it's not lost on me that episode 666, The Number of the Beast, is also an episode where Marco Bezzecchi slaps a marshal in the face. It's a weird time to be a MotoGP fan, trust me. Welcome, everybody, to episode 666, and welcome to our Brno Czech Grand Prix episode. I love me some Brno, and Brno did not disappoint. We had another really, really good weekend of bike racing here. Although, sadly, that's kind of become the backseat story here in MotoGP because, well, let's just say Marco Bezzecchi went viral for all the wrong reasons over the course of the weekend in an incident that's going to have dramatic and huge ramifications for the entire MotoGP 2026 championships. And, well, no surprise, a certain Marc Marquez punished Marco Bezzecchi with almost full effect, shall we say, over the course of the weekend. But joining me in to cover that and everything else that took place in Brno and beyond, Mr. Cameron Buckley. Hello, Cam. How's it going, sir?
I found it only fitting that for episode 666 of this 10-episode school project that we reference Big Bill Hells. And if you are looking for a used vehicle, do not buy one from Marc Marquez. That man is a liar. He is a dirty liar. And do not believe anything out of his mouth. Hole shot devices, Ducatis that tuck fronts, slaps, all this and more. You know, I thought last year with McLaren, and I've made this comparison, because it kind of felt that vibe for about a week. But Marco Bezzecchi has found a much dumber way to blow points than McLaren ever did last year.
Yeah, much dumber. Much dumber. My goodness me, to say the least. Like, welcome to another episode, as put in the our friend, the Paddock Pass podcast. Welcome back to Massimo Rivola's home for troubled Italians.
Lord, are they troubled.
Lord, are they troubled. Welcome to home of challenge slapping. That's right, challenge slapping. If you can slap a marshal twice and not get a race ban, you get no down payment. But yes.
Marco Bezzecchi's getting fucked on interest on this one.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a long discussion on this one coming right up. Of course, we'll talk about Marc Marquez. We'll talk about the fact that silly season has now officially begun, finally, in MotoGP after months of very much no speculation, given we knew what two-thirds of the grid's going to look like as we speak. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We'll talk about the fact that the Agüero surprise really is no longer a surprise anymore. No, he just really is that good now. Pecco Bagnaia might be back. A little bit about the F50 test we had on Monday as well. And some dramatic rule changes that are coming up for 2027 that are already locked in place. Big moves. And I'll give you a little spoiler. The front hole shot device is dead now, immediately. Somebody break out a cigar. We're having a pack watch right now. Oh, yes. Oh,
that's
baby.
Okay. It's okay. It's the rear ride height device that I will be running through the streets popping champagne over its death next year.
I will take a partial victory where I can get it. But yes, very much so. All of that and much more in the next hour or so. But in the meantime, here's places you can find us in the interim. We're on YouTube.com/Motorsport101. We're on Facebook.com/Motorsport101. You're on Twitter at Motorsport_101. If you'd like to follow us personally on Twitter, you can. I'm at DreHarrison101. Cam's at CBuckley917. Same on Blue Sky. My actual name on Blue Sky as well, DreHarrison.bsky.social. We're on Instagram at Motorsport101pod. We are also on TikTok at M101_podcast for highlights of the show and other assorted bits and video bobs from all of us at M101. Also, our website, motorsport101.com, where I did a full written review of all of the weekend shenanigans. And there was a lot of shenanigans. It's the biggest one I've ever written for bikes. Nearly 3,000 words of fun on all we're going to talk about here. Great.
Oh my God, yeah, like in this era of overpriced PC parts, I don't know how you could afford a water cooler for your keyboard.
Let's just say I wasn't lacking motivation on this one. Just trust me on this. That and IndyCar at Road America, which of course will be our next episode as well. If you really, really like us, you can back us financially on Patreon, patreon.com/motorsport101. $5 gets you early access to all of our content, including early peeks at DRRs potentially now as well on occasion, as well as all of our audio episodes at least a day before release. You can upgrade to the $10 tier to listen to these episodes live as they're going out, as Max, Jason, and Kira are all doing right now. Thank you very much for listening along. And of course, don't forget, if you want to back us for a full year and you pay up front, you can get a whole year at 30% off as a discount. Thank you, as always, for your ongoing support of the show. Right, without further ado, let's review Fight Night Champion. Nope, sorry, the Brno Grand Prix.
We all know why you're here. The story of the MotoGP season thus far, Marco Bezzecchi crashes out late on in the Brno sprint race. While the marshals recover his crashed bike to attempt a recovery, one marshal revs the engine by accident. Bezzecchi responds by slapping said marshal in the face. Twice. Bez can't continue in the sprint that Pecco Bagnaia, yeah, remember that guy, goes on to win ahead of Ayagura and Marc Marquez. The stewards that night laid out a pretty blunt verdict, a race ban for the weekend on the grounds of unsporting behavior. Aprilia appealed the decision, but the ban was upheld and Bez's weekend was effectively over. Bez came back to the marshal post on Sunday morning to apologize. Where do we even begin, Dre? Holy shit.
What a shocking turn of events. I mean, it's amazing because, as people found out as well, Bez has history of this. He did this in 2022 in Valencia, where he very aggressively shoved the marshal over and was given, I think it was a 1,000 euro fine as a result of doing so. Typically, this sort of unsporting behavior has resulted in harsher and harsher punishment as time has gone on, because you would get away with a lot more in the past. It says a lot that one of the main people defending Marco Bezzecchi, and someone who I like and admire quite a lot, one of my first racing heroes, was Carl Fogarty, who was very openly said, listen, he's apologized, you know, it's over, let him race. You know, in shocking news, a racer wants a fellow racer to be able to go out and race. Not a surprise there. Right. The room was very much split when it came to overall responses on this one. Some people were like, heat of the moment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some people were a bit more harsh about it. Like, I think even one of Bez's good friends, Luca Marini, was like, we cannot tolerate violence in this sport. We cannot be doing that. And he completely agreed with the race ban. I don't think you need to dig too deep into my brain to get you what I think of the situation. It was a completely justified race ban. I had zero issue whatsoever when that penalty dropped. And he's lucky it was only one race, quite frankly. In my opinion, I don't think this needs explaining, because most of the sisters we have are over the age of 12. You absolutely fundamentally do not put your hands on an official ever. There is no justification for that whatsoever. Zero, none, nada. Yes, the marshal made a minor mistake in revving the throttle as he picks the bike up. That is by no means a justification to assaulting them, because that's what this was. You smacked him twice, and we all saw it on camera. It's a disgraceful thing to do. Even more so that it's a marshal. The people we look at in this sport like heroes, because they volunteer so much of their time and effort to enable us to be able to watch this sport and all the other forms of motorsport that we're allowed to be able to watch, because in an ideal world, we'd be paying these people. We don't. And that is a damning indictment of motorsport in general. But for me, assaulting one of them is the ultimate disrespect. You absolutely do not do that. And if this was any other sport, I think it would be an even harsher punishment. If this was football and you smacked a referee, you would be facing a massive, massive ban. You'd be at least 6, 7, 8 league games. Easy. It would be a multiple game ban in the Premier League if you ever put your hands on an official. It would be way more than the usual 3 for a straight red card. No. So as far as I'm concerned, Cam, Bez is lucky it was only one race, to be honest with you. I think that was ultimately a fair punishment because it's kind of unprecedented that someone's hit an official. So, like, I'm fine with it at one race, but this was just unacceptable for me.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those fairly boring sections of our podography where we just completely agree on everything. I can't really add a whole lot to that. Like, it's I didn't actually think it was as bad as it was the first time I watched it, because the first angle we saw kind of an initial shove. It's the fact that he went in for another one. The fact that he had another 4 or 5 seconds to level out and he doubled down. And that is just completely unacceptable on any level in really any sport. And these marshals, as you mentioned, they volunteer. If marshals think that they're going to go get smacked by a competitor, they're not going to volunteer. And why would they? Making an honest mistake of revving a bike, a crashed, very hot motorcycle in a gravel trap while you're in harm's way, it's an honest to God mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot think of a single dumber way to throw away a massive portion of your championship league than this. You are the front runner for the MotoGP World Championship, and you did that?
Was still comfortably Bookie's favorite headed into this weekend with a 72-point advantage over Marc Marquez.
The gas tank on my 1980 Honda CB750 Supersport is rotted out, and I spent most of the weekend in bed, and I scored as many points as Marco Bezzecchi did last weekend, which is 0.
Bez did put out a statement, in all fairness. It's only fair I give him his side of the story as well. He said in a statement issued by Aprilia, quote, "I would like to apologize to the entire MotoGP community for my behavior toward the trackside marshal. I'm also sorry because I know how much effort and sacrifice marshals make to ensure our safety. This behavior shouldn't happen, and there is no justification for it. I apologize to everyone, Aprilia Racing, and all my fans." Now, for context as well, Massimo Rivola, CEO of Aprilia, did lodge a formal appeal against the penalty. It was quite promptly thrown out. Different set of stewards in an appeal hearing. The stewards...
It's the second fastest thrown out appeal in motorcycle racing this year. Only behind the Leopard engine penalty.
Yeah, it was just like... I'm sure it probably much boiled down to get the fuck out of my office. I read the appeal document in full, and there is 2 key paragraphs that I want to point out here that sums this up. Quote, "The appeal stewards consider it particularly significant that the individuals involved were marshals actively engaged in the recovery of the rider's machine following an accident. Such personnel were acting solely in the interests of rider safety, event safety, and the orderly conduct of the competition. Physical aggression towards marshals is wholly unacceptable in professional motorsport and cannot be tolerated regardless of the circumstances leading to the incident. Failure to respond appropriately to such conduct would risk sending the wrong message to competitors throughout the World Championships and those lesser down, and would be inconsistent with the governing body's obligation to protect officials, volunteers, and workers who contribute to the sport. Therefore, this punishment is upheld," basically.
That is unambiguous as you get. I I have to applaud race control. They knew what a penalty was in this situation. I did like how Paddock Pass did put Simon Crafar as an option for Rider of the Weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's fair.
But this is something that cannot be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And I like that they made an example out of Bez. Hey, if you do this, you're going to sit the weekend out. We don't care who you are. We don't care what it means. You do not do this. I think that's the right approach. Damn, I have to praise race control in the Big 26. This is how bad Bez screwed up.
Weird feeling, isn't it?
Oh man. The Beehive. The Beehive is reserved for Graham Rahal this weekend. More yeah. A little bit on him.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
like, I get why Aprilia lodged an appeal, because he is their championship leader.
You're kind of obligated to here. I mean, Massimo Ravolo looks a little bit stupid because he was giving it the big one after Balloton a week or so ago, where he said he had no problem if Jorge Martin was given a harsher penalty than the double long lap he had to face at Brno this weekend for basically playing a game of 100 pin bowling on Wii Sports Play. But he kind of have to appeal it because he's a championship leader. And he did have a minor point that was worth acknowledging, in that it was disproportionate to the other similar penalties we've seen before. The difference is, those were for ignoring martial instructions. Like Fabio Quartararo, for example, last year at Le Mans was given, I think it was a 1,000 euro fine, and he had to sit out 10 minutes of practice for ignoring, I believe it was in the official books, is ignoring martial instructions, not unsportsmanlike behavior, which was assaulting.
Smacking a marshal twice.
Yeah.
And to go back to the point I made and is mentioned in the article, like, the marshals are in harm's way in that corner.
Absolutely.
They've got 320 horsepower carbon piss missiles that could at any stage tuck the front the way Bez did. And we haven't even talked about the mistake Bez made, because it's almost secondary at this point, but the man can't sprint. He can't sprint. He's going to lose his championship because he can't sprint. But the marshals are in harm's way, acting solely in good faith of, we got to get this bike out of the way. We got to see if we can get you back in the race. On any level, you cannot justify what Bez did. Heat of the moment doesn't matter. Don't smack someone in the face.
It's one, a lot of people made this point as well. Like, what happened, like Aleix Espargaró and Frankie Morbidelli in Qatar a few years ago? There's a big difference between smacking a fellow competitor, especially given that Aleix did have a valid reason to be angry before said slap. There's a difference between hitting a competitor and hitting a marshal. And if you can't tell the difference as to why that's a big issue, I can't help you. Now,
as a NASCAR fan, seen some Fight Club over the years.
And we love a good fight.
We love a good Fight Club between competitors' teams sometimes. If one of them just went out and smacked a NASCAR official out on pit road, you would be dragged into the NASCAR hauler and not let out for 3 weeks.
We've seen it. Like, NASCAR will just straight up sit you out for a round. If you get on the wrong side of a violent incident, they will just ban you for a race now. You know, and they will do it, and rightly so. You can't do that. You don't put your hands on an official in any sport in environment. That's never okay. Mm-hmm. And look, in Bez's defense, and I know a lot of people are cynical about this to the point of, I feel like it's almost an unfair argument at this point, because people are like, oh, well, the apology got filmed, it was a redemption tour, and I'm like, look, listen, certain journalists absolutely did go out of their way to try and defend Bezzecchi's character by comparison in all of this. And first of all, I would say what they're like off the bike has got absolutely nothing to do with this incident. Everybody is different when the visor goes down. These are competitors. and the heat of the moment is not a valid excuse for what went down. But I would also say the apology by all accounts seemed sincere. He went to the same Marshall post. We actually found out the Marshall's name was Ladislav, because TNT Sports actually interviewed said Marshall. It was actually a very genuinely clever bit of broadcasting to actually interview the actual Marshall to get his perspective on what happened. We saw that Bez gave him a very emotional and teary hug. He gave him his gloves, which is ironic given they were probably the same gloves he slapped him with, but still he gave him his gloves. And by all accounts, it seemed like a sincere apology. And I want people to draw a line in the sand and move on from that, because I think in 2026, it's so easy to say, oh, it's a fake apology. Oh, he's used AI to write it. Or, you know, it's all a PR move. You've got to give some degree of sincerity towards these people. Otherwise, there's no such thing as a fair apology anymore. And I don't think that's right either. Because, like, if you don't do it, it's like, oh, well, why? You know, the apology's got to be as loud as the disrespect. I've heard that phrase used so many times in so many other incidents or walks of life. But at the same time, you can't also go, it's a PR move if you apologize to somebody. It's not fair. And no one asked for Bez to record what had happened either. You know?
No. Let him apologize in his own way and let that be the end of it. And hopefully that is the end of it.
Agreed. Like, I wanted to get that off my chest, because so many people these days, when it comes to apologies in walks of life, is just like, oh, it's all PR. It's all a PR move. And look, don't get me wrong. There is a place for PR in motorsport alongside any other industry and walk of life. But companies need it. It exists for a reason. You've got to be able to promote yourself and be able to defend yourself as a company, of course. No one is disputing that. But at the same time, that's the job of us as journalists, to hold people to account. It's the exact same principle as the Keith Richards, Max Verstappen scenario we got earlier this season in Formula One. In the same way that Red Bull has a PR department that absolutely will want to pretend, or protect, I should say, their drivers and people within the team, it's also down to the journos to be able to hold people to account. That's how the media circle should work. And we work together for the best for all parties. Mm-hmm. That's what we should be doing in this sport, not going, oh, that's a fake apology, or, well, you know, oh, he's brought the cameras along, you know, it's all to make himself look good. Mate, there's no recovering from smacking a marshal in the context of motorsport, all right? Like, fuck that. Like, it's stupid. I'm glad he's apologized. It seemed like a heartfelt and sincere apology. I hope that's the end of the matter, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a lesson learned for Bez, because I'll say this publicly. I do like Marco Bezzecchi. I think he's a very likable person. I think he's very sincere, very forthright. I've never had a bad word to say about him as a person or as a rider beforehand.
I think that's what made the shock value of what happened so strong, is because Bez just, like, by all accounts, is a relatively reserved dude off the bike.
Yeah, very quiet.
That's just it.
Yeah.
Off the bike and on the bike are two different people, and I mean, I really hope that's the end of it for his sake.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I hope that's the end of the matter, because it's a bad day for MotoGP. No one wins in these kinds of scenarios, and when somebody goes out of their way to assault someone on a camera for the world to see. It's not, I feel sorry that Ladislav had to go home from his job, check his house, check his phone, and then see the worldwide reaction to being slapped in the face live on camera. That's embarrassing. That's humiliating for anyone to have to go for it. And I'm glad that he seems like he's in a good place mentally, by what TNT interviewed and asked of him. I'm glad he's okay, mentally and physically, after that, because no one should have to go through that kind of embarrassment ritual when they've done nothing wrong in public. You know, and that sucks. And that's another element that people don't want to talk about from all this. Let's get into the Grand Prix itself, because in that, we had a very interesting race. Pecco Bagnaia aggressively took the lead quite early on. Hit Marquez with what's called the pile driver, the turn seven switchback early on in the opening lap to take the early lead. He did that. Marquez quickly followed through on Agüero to take second place early on. Bit of a back and forth battle by a few tenths of a second. Lap 16, Marquez gets real close to Pecco, hits him with a switchback at turn four to take the lead. Agüero comes through quite quickly afterwards, a lap later, and it's game on for the race win. But Marquez did a brilliant job to hold off any counter-attack from Agüero, pushing literally all the way to the final corner. If you watch the end of that race, he loses the rear of the bike on the penultimate corner of the final lap. That was a media center that nearly lost its collective shit, thinking about the race reports it would have had to rewrite if that ended up in a crash. But it was Marquez that would hold on for the win, his first pair of back-to-back victories in almost a year, his 101st Grand Prix victory. Very on brand, if I do say so myself. And with it, you look at the scoreboard now. 3 weeks ago, off the back of the Italian Grand Prix, Marc Marquez was 102 points behind Marco Bezzecchi in the title picture. It's now 40. We still have 12 race weekends to go, in theory, if we get Qatar. It's a different sport now, folks.
This is the part in the horror movie where the door is falling off the hinges and the monster on the other side is peeking through. You did all this damage early on in the year while Mark was having the arm issue, while he was out with the surgery. He comes back and immediately Aprilia folds in on itself.
Yeah.
Where's your bottle? And Jorge Martin, I'm looking at you too. He was worse here. Double long lap penalty was not helping. He was worse here than he was last year in his first race coming back from being run over.
And his interview post-race was pretty damning. He says he's lost faith in the confidence of his Aprilia. He felt like he had no front grip whatsoever, and they're going to have to do a bit of a reset when they get to Assen this weekend. Like, Martin was not happy with the state of his Aprilia, and it looked like it wasn't all weekend.
Yeah, like the two factory Aprilias, I mean, Bez wasn't slow before his incident, but they've lost that sauce that they started the year with. It feels like they came out of the gates running, and now they don't really know how to get faster across the different tracks. They better in Assen, because what follows Assen, Dre?
The Saxon Ring.
Oh, it's not like Mark likes the Saxon Ring.
The next three rounds after Brno is the Saxon Ring, Silverstone, and Aragon are the next three races. So those are, if he survives at Assen, you've got three extremely strong Marquez rounds that he's won multiple times immediately afterwards. So
he won Assen last year. It was just very, very close.
You're absolutely right. It was extremely close between Bez and Marquez last year. Marquez, I mean, the term Mark used after the race in Brno was survive. He wants to survive Assen. I think he's being sincere this time when he thinks he's not going to win.
I don't know. This used car is kind of rusty, Dre.
I don't know, but it's if last year was anything to go by, and that was the peak of what we think Marquez was at Ducati last year, he barely won at Assen. And by all accounts, the Aprilia is stronger now than it was last year. So I don't think Mark is bluffing on this one. I think he's aiming for a top five in Assen. He can survive. He might lose a few points to Bez here and now, hopefully in his eyes as little as possible, because the next three race weekends after the fact, Saxon Ring, Silverstone, Aragon, Mark will be aiming to get at least two out of three wins on those three circuits coming up afterwards.
Yeah.
Provided
the Ducati functions at Silverstone. Remember last year, that bike just did not work there.
Yeah.
None of them did.
None of them did. The tires just did not work out for them over there. No, but that was a Marquez masterclass in race management. That was him sticking behind Pecco, working out where he was weak, realizing he had the pace to be able to get past him, doing so with a pretty spectacular overtake, voted a pass of the weekend by fans, and did that brilliantly. Then has to go at 100% of his power to stop Agüero, because we've talked about Agüero before. His late race pace is absolutely phenomenal. He's so quick on worn tires, it's not even funny.
Lost in all of this, Agüero was on pole, by the way.
Yeah. First Japanese rider on pole in nearly 6 years.
And it went a lot better than it did the last time. Sorry, Taka.
I think he's only the eighth Japanese rider to ever have a Premier Class pole position. And he's the youngest of all of them. I love that Agüero was so deadpan about it, saying, because we haven't had that many, in regards mm-hmm. to why he's the youngest Japanese pole sitter of all time in MotoGP. It's classic Agüero.
Great lines out of him. Him at Mark after the race. Couldn't you let me win one? You have so many.
A reminder, this was Marquez's 75th Premier Class victory.
That's a cool number. Well, what about the overall class wins?
Overall, it's 101. It's a good number.
On brand. I mean, when Mark Marquez tells you he's aiming for top five, he'll get you first. And if he's aiming for a win, he'll get you first. Or crash trying. Early on, I think, kind of sat at minimum safe distance behind Pecco. And we said it during the race when we were watching this, that we're probably going to know round lap 14 whether Mark has it in him to win the race.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much right on cue, he was attacking Pecco, gets by, and then, as you said, had to pull out pretty much all the stops to prevent second wind Agüero from running him down. If he had a special ability, if he had a limit break, it'd be called second wind. The required run rate in the championship, forget required run rate, he's just in it now.
Yeah, it's over. He's within one race weekend. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he's done the hard bit now. He's taken the big chunk, the big deficit out of the lead. He's now in play. He can now attack this like he's competing for the world championship and just go race by race and then see what you can get. He's got more than enough time to reel in a 40-point deficit. If he's anything like he was last year in terms of form, where this was the chunk of the season where Mark was on an unstoppable tear, if it's anything like that again this year, he will shred Bezzecchi's 40-point deficit quickly. Unless Bez can rack up second places like Andrea Dovizioso might do or something like that. Like, Bez is going to have to basically not put a foot wrong for a good while now.
Yeah, and to add to that, he's not necessarily been able to be best of the rest behind whoever is winning when it's not him. Agüero learned how to putt. He actually qualified this weekend. Mm-hmm. Need to see a bigger sample size, but if he's qualifying up there, there's no reason why he can't take points off of Bez. Pecco, best weekend in MotoGP since Japan last year.
Easy. Won the sprint, a very solid third in the Grand Prix. His pace didn't even really drop off all that much after Agüero and Marquez went past him. It was just more a fact that the top two were just They just found another gear. Like, Pecco was only 2 seconds off the win. That's more than good enough for me. That's
what should have been happening the last year, really.
It's his fourth consecutive podium finishing Grand Prix, and he's third in sprints so far this season. He's definitely improved there too this year, which it's good to see him back to something near his best.
Pecco Bagnaia, sprint specialist?
Stop it.
It's weird. It's a weird feeling, but he's been excellent in sprints so far. He's cut out most of the Bozo gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had a bad start, but since Mugello, he's been on it. He's just not really put a foot wrong anywhere.
Yeah. And if you're Aprilia, like, you can't call team orders because Jorge Martin will literally laugh you out of the room because he's leaving next year. Like, these were the races that Mark is coming back. The arm is still far from 100%, even though it is much better. These are supposed to be the races where you were bracing for the second half of the season. You have blown 62 points of your championship lead. They have blown all three of their leads in all three parts of the Triple Crown, because now Ducati is right behind them in the constructors, and they are gunning them down in the teams. In Mugello, this looked like a nailed-on Triple Crown, Dre.
It did look like a nailed-on Triple Crown. And now, all of a sudden, you've got two Ducatis in the title picture, because let's not forget, Fabio Di Giantonio is only 23 points off the lead himself now. Very quietly, he's been chipping away at that gap. He's kept himself in play with a lot of just consistent third and fourth places. Jorge Martin didn't really punish Bez enough in the Grand Prix, because he's still behind by eight. Let's put it to you this way. From Bez to Pecco in P7 in the championship, there is 57 points covering the top seven right now. I've not even mentioned Pedro Acosta and Aigura by name in the actual title picture. We're in a fascinating place right now where there is five or six people that are thinking, I'm in play here. Like, if I can get a couple of the big weekends together, they're going to be in the mix. There is no doubt about that. This is a wide-open championship battle now. Aprilia have only got a five-point lead in the Manufacturers Championship because Aigura spared their blushes over the weekend. Aigura saved them from what could have been a really bad weekend in terms of potential result. Instead, Aigura spared them by finishing second, so they only lost 5 points in the Grand Prix. But this was looking like a Triple Crown. It is not anymore. It's now game on for both the Manufacturers and Riders' Championship this year.
I quite literally can't think of a dumber way to lose near maximum points to your rivals. McLaren last year in Las Vegas was pretty dumb, when all they had to do was just kind of stroke it home. This is... I'm calling it now. I'm going to struggle to think of a more worthy Fallon Dior winner at the end of the year. Front runner for the Golden Cock, Marco Bezzecchi.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. And just the catastrophic ramifications. If you gave Bez another 30 points to play with right now, he'd probably still feel quite confident about winning the championship now, heading into the European chunk of the calendar that we're in now before the summer break. And yeah, they're just not in a good place right now. Now the pressure is there. And I don't envy Massimo Ravolo. I mentioned it during Balloton. What more can you throw at that man, as CEO of Aprilia, than all this shit he's got to handle? Because it was bad enough after Balloton when Jorge Martin went walkies again. Now your main rider, your chief threat for the championship, is slapping marshals? Way to make everybody look like complete and utter idiots. It's a terrible look for everybody involved. And Aprilia are now under genuine pressure for the first time in a while. That, you know, they're now the ones being hunted down. Ducati have been far more solid in the last few race weekends. The last three race weekends, you know, Ducati's been right there with Aprilia. The gains or the gap between them is now marginal. They're both going to be in Tier B of concessions once we get past the summer break checkpoint, because neither team is going to be in the 85 percentile after the German Grand Prix, because that's going to be a concessions checkpoint as well. It's worth pointing that out.
So, Ducati's development has been stunted for years because they've been so cracked that they've been limited via regulation. Now, I don't know how much of that's going to matter this year, given all of the work towards the 850cc bikes, which we got to see some of this weekend. We'll talk about them a little later. You do not want to hand the development juggernaut that is Ducati, that is Gigi Dulinea, any consolation whatsoever. And again, what happens when Mark's arm is back to 100%? Something close to it.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. If you've got Pecco in the fight as well, And the last couple weekends, he's been in the fight, even if he hasn't been overwhelmingly fast.
Mm-hmm.
That puts the team's championship under threat. It gives Mark someone else to take points off of the Aprilias behind him if he can start stringing together wins.
It just makes everything murkier for Aprilia to get their jobs done. There's going to be a lot that's going to be hung up in the air in regards to that. And we still have half the season, more than half the season's worth of racing still to go. Like, it's been an incredibly compelling championship so far in MotoGP, and we're 9 rounds in out of a possible 22. It's been, every weekend has added new wrinkles, new layers to this championship fight, and it's fascinating. And I look forward to seeing what happens at Assen for the next chapter, because it's been incredible. Bez is a fantastic Assen specialist. He's arguably his best track on paper. What can Mark do with his not 100% arm by comparison? It's going to be a fascinating battle. If Mark can win at the Assen TT, that would be a hammer blow for Aprilia. And as Jason says, they also have baggers. That's always a plus. We have baggers.
Baggers at Assen is so sick.
Baggers at Assen with Andrea Iannone's 29 at the front of the field. It's what a time to be alive. We have that baggers.
I kicked off much of this season in the first few episodes going, Aprilia needs to keep ticking boxes. It feels like some of those have been unticked in the last couple weeks, but one remains. What do you do about that guy hunting you down?
It's why Massimo Rivola said the true test, the real final boss, is a healthy Marc Marquez. They've not taken, in fairness to him and Aprilia, they've not taken any of this for granted. They've always said the real threat is a healthy Marc and what he can do against us. Because everybody knows Mark brings more to the table than anybody else can on a Ducati when he's fully functional. That will be the real test. That will be the real battleground to see how Aprilia stacks up now compared to how it stacked up last year. And don't get me wrong, Aprilia had many a good competitive contest with Mark at his best last year. Austria, Misano, there was multiple rounds there last year where Bez could give Ducati a bloody nose. That's what makes it so interesting. So, looking forward to some of that. A few thoughts before we get out of here. We hinted at it last time out. It is now confirmed. All 11 teams on the grid have now signed the new commercial deal that MotoGP has in place for the next 5 years until 2031. That starts up from next season. Everybody has now signed that document. We don't know the exact details of the framework yet. I mean, there was an exceptional press conference call, which is a very ironic word because it was the most boring fucking half an hour I've ever seen in my life. Look, folks, if something can be an email, make it an email, okay? Because that was the 17 principles, but Carlos Ezepelta doing all the talking, basically, and a little bit from Massimo. And a little bit of Gigi Deligna, but it was mostly just Carlos talking. And, you know, there was a lot, and we talked about it before, you know, on a previous episode, talking about a lot of marketing talk as well. We want 22 Super Bowls. Same line that Chase Carey gave when he bought F1 as part of Liberty as CEO a decade ago. And I'm like, oh, we're going back to that playbook again. We're going down the F1 road. I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. You know, great, lovely. Can't wait to see how that turns out, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, we shall see how that turns out. Also, some changes in the minds of safety. The big one being effective immediately. Front right light devices will be banned in MotoGP going forward. There's been a lot of talk and conversation about how to make the starts of MotoGP races safer. And the consensus opinion has been that the front right light devices are somewhat responsible for that. So
somewhat?
Well, depends on who you ask, because some riders genuinely don't think it's that. It's one of those where some do, Some think it's more the fact that everybody gets perfect starts now. Everybody's coming into the same pinch point at the same time.
What causes all those perfect starts, Dre?
Pole shot devices.
Oh, yes. No, Turkey. This oven, it's not for you. It's just for show.
Yes, exactly. So front hole shot devices will be banned going forward, effective immediately. And there's another measure. It will be a little bit later on at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone after the summer break. Then we'll also make the grids wider. We're going to make the bikes 1 meter further apart on the same row. And we're also going to make each row sit 3 meters further back to try and make it a bit less of a pinch point going into turn one, to spread out the field a little bit more. So hopefully there's a greater chance of avoiding a turn one spill. Also an interesting one for next season. No manufacturer will be allowed more than 6 bikes on the grid. So, the prime of Ducati.
If I've ever heard it.
Yeah, the prime of Ducati celebrations of 8 bikes are over. That will not be happening again as long as that rule is in play. There'll be a 6 bike limit per manufacturer going forward. And we've also had a bit of silly season news as well, Cam, because Marc Marquez has now signed the new 2-year deal, and we got
docking everyone.
Yeah, and you got the news today that Pecco Bagnaia is leaving Ducati officially at the end of the season. We now know as well that Pedro Acosta will definitely be replacing him in that team next season. We also know that Pecco Bagnaia will be going to Aprilia next year. It's just basically, it's just not been officially named yet. By the time this episode goes out, there's a good chance it will have been officially announced.
I did really enjoy that KTM are so petty and bothered by Pedro leaving that they wouldn't let Ducati use a picture of him in their media. So Ducati's like, well, they didn't say anything about a silhouette.
It's just so petty, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Oh, man. I can't wait for Mark and Pedro's photo shoot next year when they're forced into their get along T-shirt.
We're fine. We take each other out at the apex, but we're fine. Honest.
Dante Tardozzi's heart rate is going to be measured in Chernobyl Reactor 4 measurements.
Yeah. Can you get me the anti-18 Balatro score, please? That's going to be his heart rate. We'll work it out later. Cool. E47.
Scudo Pike's Peak with all the downforce on the back in GT3.
Yes, please.
Breaking the integer limit.
Yep. We're going to take orders at 195,000 miles an hour. Good luck to them on that one. I mean, we've already kind of talked about these moves in the past because it's been an open secret for months about them. We're only getting them through now officially because we've got a Concord agreement in place. Pedro Acosta and Marc Marquez as a ride, the lineup is stupid. It is the sort of lopsided. Green. It's the sort of lopsided trade that a fantasy football commissioner would veto because it's too lopsided.
Since this isn't no Giannis trade, Ducati still very much has a backcourt.
Oh, yeah. They'll be just fine with, you know, Fermin Aldeguer still there. We think Nicolò Buliger will be coming over from World Superbikes next year on the VR
416. Oh, he's probably going to complete World Superbikes as a sport, as he is still undefeated.
25 consecutive wins through the end of last year.
He might end up as our default rider of the year, regardless of what else happens, because what else could possibly win but going perfect on a season in a world championship?
It's now deep enough along in Worlds where we can now start actively having the conversation. I talked about this before.
Kind of horrifying.
It's like being on a perfect game watching baseball and you're through 5 perfect innings. It's like, okay, I might turn the TV on to watch you now. Now that you're perfect through 5. 6th inning, you can start tuning in now and start actually focusing on this because we're now deep enough along. We're almost halfway through World Superbike season now that Buliger might just straight up go perfect, which would be insane on any level. No matter what you think of the field or what you think of World Superbikes, a perfect season is otherworldly. It's you would never see it again. It's a unicorn. It would be remarkable.
And then suddenly Singapore 2023 happens and he's just off the pace all weekend one time.
Just these things happen, etc., etc. That'll just about do it on this episode. I mean, we had a bit of a Bruneau test as well, but not a huge amount to take away from it because it was a private test. So, you know. A
couple elements. They are very fast. Not so much on the straights. They are very, very fast on the Pirelli tires. They are only about like a second off of the race times.
If the leaked times are true, Bez did a 53.9, which was only 8 tenths off the lap race record that Digi Antonio set in the actual Grand Prix, which is a 53.1. So that's 8 tenths of a second on a 1:53 lap.
With a big horsepower reduction. Again, a straight line doesn't look like they're that fast, but everything else is very, very fast. It's almost like just cutting the aero off the top and not off the sides of the bike wasn't going to make a big difference. Well, was it?
Especially given Pirelli's tires tend to be very fast. They tend to make very, very grippy, very sticky tires, Pirelli. And that's why Walton bike guys love them, because of how much grip they give you, basically. It just grips. Just grips all day. Not going anywhere.
Like, hey, yo.
Yeah, yeah, it's great if you're into that sort of thing. But yes, apparently Marc Marquez and Pol Espargaró had a small crash. And the video has now since come out of Marquez's crash. Looked very small, very minimal damage. So I don't know if there's anything to really worry about there. But if the times are to be believed and they are genuine, we're only going to have maybe a second and a half level of drop-off as opposed to what we've got right now in MotoGP, which is... They'll make that time up in no time once people actually figure out the regulations properly. I'm not sure this is going to have the effect that people think it will, because the Pirelli tires are so good. But, we will have to see when we actually get going. Right, now that's about to do it for this week's episode. MotoGP is back this weekend for the Assen TT, one of the big ones on the calendar. One of the most historically brilliant Grand Prix out there. Who doesn't love a bit of Assen? So, looking forward to that one. That'll be back on next week's set of recordings alongside the Formula One Austrian Grand Prix and a big doubleheader over there as well. And next episode will be on IndyCar at Road America because, hey, it turns out Alex Palou is fuming after all. More on that next time of asking. Until then, I've been Dre Harrison. He's been Cameron Buckley. Thank you very much for watching. I'll see you guys next time. Sayonara.
Do not buy a used car from this man.